Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear viewers, this is the second episode of the topic that we'd started to discuss in the previous session, and this topic related to the revelation of the Quran on seven ahruf. If you recall, I had enumerated some of the representative texts of this narrative before you and had posited the fact that there are basically seven major interpretations of this narrative that I have selected out of the 35 or 40 odd which have been presented. And we had already discussed the first of these interpretations, and the first of these interpretations was that it should be considered that the word seven here refers to seven types of pronunciation. And then we had seen how some of the Qurra had said that the various ways of tajweed or pronunciation, which include ishmam, talyeen, and etc., some of the other facets of reading the Arabic language, according to them, form part of this interpretation. Before I move on to the next interpretation, I would also like to add one more point of critique to my previous critique of this first interpretation, and that is that we also need to understand that the whole narrative says, "Unzil al-Quranu ala sabati ahruf, faqra'u ma tayassara minhu." The second part of this narrative is also important, which says that whichever harf is appropriate, you should read on that harf. So if this particular interpretation is taken into account, it would mean that we can use any of the tajweed terms or any of the types of pronunciation that have been actually put forth. Now, this again is something which is very confusing, and it does not make any sense that how can the Prophet say that you can use just one form of pronunciation or any one of them which is appropriate for you. So I just wanted to add this small note or addendum to my previous critique. Now, moving on to the next interpretation, viewers. The second interpretation in this regard is that the seven ahruf are seven types of Quranic verses. So this is the second type which has I'm going to present before you. And Suyuti says that the proponents of this views have differed as to what exactly these seven are. So in their connotation of seven, they differ. And while quoting one opinion, Suyuti writes, it refers to amrun wa nahyun wa halalun wa haramun wa muhkamun wa mutashabihun wa amsalun, which means that it refers to verses which mention commands, prohibitions, what is lawful, what is unlawful, what is clear, what is allegorical, and what is mentioned as parables. Now, a similar opinion in this regard has been recorded by Ibn Atiyah, and this has been recorded by Mannaw al-Qattan in his famous treatise on seven ahruf, which is Nuzul al-Quran ala sabati ahruf. So he says, فَقَالَ فَرِيقُ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ الْمُرَادِ بِالسَّبْعَ أَحْرُفْ مَعَانِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَهِيَ أَمْرٌ وَنَحْيٌ وَوَعَدٌ وَوَعِيدٌ وَقَصَصٌ وَمُجَادِلَةٌ وَأَمْثَالٌ. So one group of scholars says the seven ahruf refers to the meaning of the Book of God, and they are, now these meanings are enumerated again, they refer to various types of verses: directives, prohibitions, promises, threats, anecdotes, argumentation, and parables. So these are, according to some of our scholars of past authorities, which ascribe this view to certain verses of the Quran or to certain types of verses of the Quran. Now, this is as far in a nutshell as this view is concerned. But let me now enumerate some of the bases which have been put forth by our scholars vis-a-vis to substantiate their claim that it means seven types of Quranic verses. Now, the first of these has been presented by Suyuti as the basis of this view, and it is a narrative from Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, and the narrative records an Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu anhu an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal kana kitabul awwal nazala min babin wahid ala harfin wahid wa nazala al-Quran min sabati awwab ala sabati ahruf zajirin wa amirin wa halalin wa haramin wa muhkamin wa mutashabihin wa amsalin fa ahillu halalahu wa harrimu haramahu وَفْعَلُوا مَا أُمِرْتُمْ بِهِ وَانْتَهُوا أَمَّا نُهِيتُمْ عَنْهُ وَاعْتَبِرُوا بِأَمْثَالِهِ وَاعْمَلُوا بِمُحْكَمِهِ وَآمِنُوا بِمُتَشَابِهِ وَقُولُوا آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. So this is a narrative which has been recorded by Hakim al-Mustadrak, And it is reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the famous companion from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as I said, Suyuti says that people think that the basis of this view is hinges on this narrative, besides others as well. So a translation of this would be, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud narrates from the Prophet, "The first book was revealed constituting one type on one harf, and the Quran has been revealed constituting seven types on seven ahruf." And now these are enumerated. The rebuking verses, the verses of command, verses stating the lawful, those stating the unlawful, the clear verses, the allegoric ones, and verses which mention parables. So you should consider it's lawful as lawful, and it's unlawful as unlawful, and do what you have been commanded to do, and refrain from what you have been stopped, and learn a lesson from its parables, and follow its clear verses, and profess faith in the allegoric ones, and say, "I profess faith in all. All are from my Lord, and none receive a reminder except men of understanding." Now, I'm going to cite another narrative views before you, which has also been used as a basis to corroborate this view. And this narrative has been recorded by Tabri in his Tafsir. And it is a narrative which is in which Abu Qilaba narrates this narrative. And of course, it's a Mursal narrative because he reports something from the Prophet. So it says, "An Abi Qilaba qala balagani anna an-nabi qala unzila al-Qur'an ala sab'ati ahruf amrin wa zajrin wa targhibin wa tarhibin wa jadalin wa qasasin wa mathulin." So Abu Qilaba says, "It has reached me from the Prophet that he said the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf." And these are then commands, rebukes, urges, threats, argumentations, anecdotes, and parables. So viewers, this is in a nutshell a summary of some of the material which is presented in support of the this view that when it is said the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf, then actually it refers to seven types of Quranic verses. Now, let me critically evaluate this view before you. And first of all, I'd like to posit the fact that as far as the ahadith are concerned, the two ahadith which I've just cited before you, both of them are suspect. And I'm now going to comment on how these both these narratives have been rendered as unreliable. So as far as the first of them is concerned, following are some of the grounds in which it has been refuted. Firstly, according to Ibn Abdul Barr, scholars point out two flaws in this change of narration. And the first of them is that Abu Salama never met Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So we know that in this narrative, it is Abu Salama who reports from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he never met Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is evident. And that his son, Salama, is an unreliable person. Salama is the person who reports from his father, Abu Salama, in this narrative as well. So there are basically two flaws in this narrative there. One is that it is munkata because Abu Salama has not met Ibn Mas'ud. And the other one is that Abu Salama's own son is an unreliable person, and he is the one who reports from Abu Salama. Now, it seems that on the basis of this very reason, Ibn Hajar has also regarded this narrative to be suspect in his Fathul Bari. Now, the second point of critique views in this regard is that Ibn Abdul Barr says that many scholars like Ahmad ibn Abi Imran have rejected this hadith on the grounds that it is impossible that one whole harf consists of verses of prohibition, and one whole verse harf should consist of verses of allowing, and so on and so forth. So he says that this would mean that if the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf and there are seven consists of seven types of verses, then one whole harf should consist of the prohibition verses, and a whole harf should consist of allowance verses, and similarly for the amsal and parable verses, which of course is impossible and cannot be. Ahmad ibn Abi Imran has based his critique on the hadith narrated from Ubay ibn Ka'b, and he says that Gabriel came to the Prophet and said, "Read the Quran on one harf." The Prophet asked for more until the matter reached seven. So he says that if this is the interpretation of the narrative, that it consists of seven types of verses, then how can it be compatible to this particular variant of the narrative in which the Prophet had asked that was asked to read by Gabriel, and he said that he should be given more harfs one by one. And should this mean that the verses of parable and verses of prohibition and verses of interpretation, etc., were therefore added like this? Of course, this would be very absurd. In this regard, we have the third critique which is presented is by Ibn Athiyah. And Ibn Athiyah says that this hadith leads us to construe that one harf can be read in place of another harf. Because if one harf can be changed in the other harf, in the other form, it would mean that we can read a whole section of verses which consists of prohibition as a section of verses which actually consists of something which is lawful. Because this actually says فَقْرَوْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ, which means that you can read any of the harf in place of any of the harf. This is how he has interpreted it. I'm not sure if this interpretation can be regarded as very concise, but he says that since it is said فَقْرَوْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ, it would mean that you can replace one harf with the other harf, implying the fact that the types of verses, for example, can change. For example, if it is said that you can read the allowance verses as if they are not allowed, then of course this would totally damage the whole scenario, and the Quran would become something which it does not stand for. So this is how he has criticized this view, and something very similar has also been reported by Mawardi, and we can see the critiques of Ibn Athiyah and Mawardi in Suyuti's Itqan. Here's the fourth point of critique in this regard is that Abu Ali al-Ahwazi and Abu Ala al-Hamadani say that this hadith is not an explanation of the seven ahruf at all. And this also has been cited by Imam Suyuti in his Al-Itqan. He says that the last part of the hadith which starts with the words, the rebuking verses, Zajiran, Amiran, as you would recall, is actually a separate sentence and has been added in the narrative. It independently describes that the Quran contains seven types of verses, and among them are these verses. So he says that Zajiran, Amiran, the way it have been reported, it's a separate sentence. It is not a sentence which tells us what the seven ahruf are. It is a new sentence which tells us that the types of Quranic verses are such and such. It has no relation to the ahruf interpretation. He says that this is further corroborated by the fact that in certain variants of this hadith, the words are declined in the accusative. So like in the case of a hal, and we know that the accusative on the basis of hal, when they are declined such, then they generally refer to the types of the component that it describes. This, for example, zajir and amirin would mean that the verses of the Quran consist of seven types of subjects. And it is independent of the fact that it is speaking of ahruf or not. It's not related to ahruf, it's an independent sentence. And obviously this construction of accusative can only be described for the types of Quranic verses. At-Tabri also expresses the opinion that this hadith does not relate to an explanation of the seven ahruf. It independently describes the verses, the types of the verses found in the Quran. And this we can clearly see in his tafsir, Jamil Bayan. And the important thing is that had the difference between Umar and Hisham related to prohibition and allowance, the prophets would never have ratified both. This is Tabari, how Tabari has posited it. Because had this been the case, that the haram verse could be read in place of a halal, or a prohibited verse could be read in place of a non-prohibited one, the narrative which actually describes Umar being very, very worried when he heard Hisham ibn Hakim ibn Hizam, and then both of them went to the Prophet, and the Prophet ratified both. Tabari says that he would not have done so, because in this way he would be actually negating parts of the Quran or even affirming them, whereas the case would be opposite. A similar view has been expressed by Abu Shama when he says that the hadith is actually an explanation of the seven verses and seven types of verses. And this is expressed in his Murshid al-Wajiz. Ibn al-Jazari and Khuy, Ibn al-Jazari in his An-Nashr fil Qiraat al-Ashr, and Imam Khuy in his Al-Bayan has also criticized this hadith on precisely the same grounds. Now, here is the fifth important fact, or the fifth important critique which arises on this interpretation is that It contradicts the following hadith, and this has been presented by Imam Khuri in his Al-Bayan. He says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has said, "An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud qal annallaha unzil al-Qur'an ala khamsati ahruf: halal wa haram wa muhkam wa mutashabih wa amsal." So the Quran was revealed on five ahruf: the allowed, the prohibited, the muhkam, the mutashabih, and the parables. So Imam Khuri says that how can we reconcile that? And there's another narrative, and that is also reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that the Quran was actually revealed on five ahruf, and these five ahruf signifies five types of verses, and then these five types have been delineated. The sixth critique, viewers, which has been presented by our worthy scholars, is that the categorization of these verses, verse types, is not correct. The Quran itself has said that its verses are either muhkam or mutashabih. All other types must be subsumed under these two categories. So this is the view posited by Imam Khuri in his Al-Bayan. He says that when the Quran has categorized its verses, it has divided them into muhkam and mutashabih verses. So therefore, if there is to be a division, then it has to be subsumed between these two types, which the Quran itself has specified. The seventh critique, viewers, which has been presented by our scholars, is that most of the narratives clearly say that the reciters of the Quran differed regarding the huruf, which clearly is different from what this view says. And this again has been presented by Imam Khuri. So if there are narratives that say that the difference was actually between words, as we have seen from the narrative of Sabat al-Ahruf vis-a-vis Surah Furqan's reading between Umar and Hisham. So if that is the case, then this narrative does not fall or is not in harmony with that interpretation or that narrative. The eighth point of critique, which has been raised by our scholars, is that there is a difference in opinion as to which seven of these types of verses is implied. And this has been recorded by Imam Suyuti. So how is someone going to determine that which seven are the verses which are implied, which seven types of the verses are implied? Now, the ninth question that has been raised by our scholars is that the basic objective of revealing the Quran on seven ahruf was to provide ease and facility. Now, if this interpretation is correct, then there is in fact no ease, because the Ummah cannot read the Quran on just one harf. For this would be like leaving aside the other huruf. So if it is said that you read the Quran on one harf, which would mean just read the Quran on one type of the Quranic verses, then this would actually mean that people should leave out the other huruf in which they consist of different types of Quranic verses. So one would end up reading just one type of Quranic verse, which of course does not make sense. And this has been also pointed out by Imam Khuri in his Al-Bayan. Now, this was as far as the first narrative is concerned. Now, as far as the second narrative is concerned, the second hadith is concerned, according to Mahmud Shakir, it is Mursal, and therefore no arguments can be adduced. Remember, it was a narrative by Abu Khilaba, and he, of course, is not contemporaneous to the events that he's reporting or the content that he's reporting. So therefore, it is Mursal and Munqati and cannot be accepted. That is as far as the chain of narration is concerned. However, as far as the content is concerned, the above critique also applies to it. Now, viewers, I would like to add to this critique, which has already been presented by our worthy scholars of the past, and I would like to add some aspects to this critique. Now, regarding the chain of narration of the first narrative, a detailed critique is already presented. I'll present it later on in my study of the analysis of the chains of narration of this narrative later on. But as far as the interpretation itself is concerned, I would like to add some more points. So as far as the narrative is concerned, the chain of narration is concerned, that shall be comprehensively dealt with talk on this subject, because I think that the critique which has been presented, although is very weighty, but it still is not comprehensive. So I'll just defer that discussion until I discuss the chain of narration later on. But now some further points of criticism. Now, first of them, now this interpretation cannot be regarded as an explanation of the seven ahruf as expressed by various scholars above, because most other variants of the hadith do not accept this interpretation. These variants state that the real purpose of these ahruf is to provide ease and facility in reading the Quran, and this interpretation and the ahadith is based do not mention any such purpose. Now, the second critique which comes to my mind is that this interpretation goes against those narratives which clearly say that the meaning of this, the seven ahruf here, is actually seven synonyms, or that the Quran could be read such that there is a variation of synonyms in some of its words. So that particular narrative, as we've already pointed out, is found in most of our hadith books, including the Musnad of Ahmad. So this would go against that. Now, as far as the third point of critique is concerned, viewers, that comes to my mind is that why is it that it was as late as the date when Mecca was conquered that this was known to close companions like Umar, that seven ahruf means seven types of Quranic verses? Because we know that in the narrative in which Umar had a debate with Hisham ibn Hakim ibn Hizam, is a narrative in which this could have only occurred after Mecca was conquered, because Hisham ibn Hakim ibn Hizam was the person who had accepted faith on the day Mecca was conquered. So it will have to be posited that for all these years, the whole of the Meccan period and a better part of the Medinan period, Umar, the person who was so close to the Prophet, never knew that when he was referring to seven ahruf, he was actually referring to seven types of verses. So this is as far as this second interpretation is concerned. I will now present before you the third interpretation of this narrative. And the third interpretation of this narrative is that the seven ahruf actually connotes, the word seven in the seven ahruf connotes a large number. So in fact, you can see that this interpretation does not revolve around the interpretation of the word harf or ahruf. It in fact is an interpretation which more relates to what the number seven stands for. And Suyuti says that this view is ascribed to Qazi Ayaz and some others, and among some of the later scholars we have Shah Waliullah as well of the Indian subcontinent holding to this view. And Shah Waliullah has presented this view in his Musaffa Ashara Muatta, the famous Persian commentary on the Muatta of Imam Malik. So of Shah Waliullah says that the seven here refers to is basically it is a word which does not connote in its literal sense the number seven, but it connotes a large number. Now, viewers, I would like to present the basis of this view and the reasons of the people who actually uphold this view. Now, Ibn al-Jazari has actually said, cited in his Nashr fil Qiraat al-Ashr, that Arabs use numerals as 7, 70, and 700 to imply a large number. So he has actually given some details in this regard, some Quranic verses and ahadith as well, which tell us that the word 7, 70, and 700 are words which just express multitude, which just express a large number, and they do not necessarily cite or imply the letter itself in its literal sense. The example that he cited is in this regard is from the Quran, and the words are مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة. This is verse 261 from Surah Baqarah, and its translation is that those who give their wealth for the cause of God can be compared to a grain of corn which brings forth seven ears, each bearing 100 grains. So according to him, the word seven here actually is just referring to a large number. Another example that he has quoted is from Surah Tawbah, and this is verse 80. And the words are استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله. It is the same whether you beg forgiveness for them or not. If 70 times you beg forgiveness for them, God will not forgive them, for they have denied God and His Messenger. So according to him, the word 70 here refers to the fact that it connotes just a large number and does not connote the exact number 70 itself. Now, viewers, another thing that in this regard has been reported is a narrative from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it has been reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas, and the words are عن رسول الله فيما يروي عن ربه تبارك وتعالى قال إن الله كتب الحسنات والسيئات ثم بين ذلك فمن هم بحسنة فلم يعملها كتبها الله عنده حسنة كاملة وإن هم بها فعليها كتب فإن هم بها فعملها كتبها الله عز وجل عنده عشر حسنات إلى 700 ضعف إلى أضعاف كثيرة وإن هم بالسيئات يعملها كتبه الله عنده حسنة كاملة وإن هم بها فعملها كتبه الله سيئات واحدة. So Ibn Abbas narrates from the Prophet that the Almighty said, God has written down the reward of good and bad deeds and then he has explained them. So a person who wanted to do a good deed but was unable to do it, the Almighty wrote down the reward of this deed. And if a person wanted to do a good deed and was able to do it, the Almighty wrote down from 10 to 700 fold or even to even more. And if a person wanted to do a bad deed and did not do it, the Almighty wrote down one unit of reward. And if he wanted to do a bad deed and then did it, the Almighty wrote down one unit of recompense for it. And this narrative has been recorded in the Imam Muslim's Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Another narrative, viewers, which is presented in this regard, that to connote the fact that the word 77 here actually is a word of which connotes a large number, is from the Imam Muslim's Al-Jami' al-Sahih again, and the words are an Abi Huraira an Nabi qal al-iman biz'un wa sab'una shu'ba. So Abu Huraira narrates from the Prophet that faith has a little over 70 components. So viewers, this is some of the material or some of the verses or ahadith which have been presented by the proponents of this view to posit the fact that the words, other than the digits 770 or 700 in Arabic, does not actually imply 770 or 700 per se, but they connote a large number. Now let me critically evaluate this view, and for this I shall first present the critical views of our past authorities. A Suyuti has criticized this view by saying that the following variants of seven Arab narratives show that the number seven is used literally and not figuratively to imply a large number. So the narrative that I'm just going to cite, I've already cited before you earlier, but I'll do it again just to underscore the fact that how Suyuti has clearly said that if this narrative is considered, then the word seven cannot be interpreted as in the symbolic sense and the figurative sense to imply a large number, but it has to actually literally be interpreted as seven. So some of the variants that he has quoted include, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما حدثه أن رسول الله قال أقرأني جبريل على حرف فراجعته فلم أزل أستزيده ويزيدني حتى انتهى إلى سبعة أحرف. Which means that Ibn Abbas reports from the Prophet وسلم, that Gabriel read out the Quran to me on one harf, and I requested him and kept asking for more, and he kept increasing until the matter reached seven. So he has also cited another narrative in this regard. This the earlier one has recorded by Imam Bukhari, and this second narrative, viewers, is reported by Ubay ibn Ka'b, and this is I have already cited this narrative before you when I was presenting the representative text, but again I need to cite it again just to underscore the fact that how important it is to realize that if this narrative is kept in consideration, then the word seven cannot be taken in its symbolic sense to connote a large number. It has to be taken literally. So an Ubay ibn Ka'b qal kuntu fil masjid fadakhala rajulun yusalli faqara qira'atan ankartuha alayhi thumma dakhala akhar فَقَرَى قِرَاءَةً سِوَى قِرَاءَةِ صَاحِبِهِ فَلَمَّا قَزَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ دَخَلْنَا جَمِيعًا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فَقُلْتُ إِنَّ هَذَا قَرَى قِرَاءَةً أَنْكَرْتُهَا عَلَيْهِ وَدَخَلَ آخر فَقَرَى سِوَى قِرَاءَةِ صَاحِبِهِ فَأَمَرَهُمَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَرَى فَحَسَّنَ النَّبِيُّ شَأْنَهُمَا فَسَقَطَ فِي نَفْسِي من التكذيب ولا إذ كنت في الجاهلية فلما رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قد غشيني ضرب في صدري ففزت عرقا وكأنما أنظر إلى الله عز وجل فرقا. فقال لي يا أبي أرسل إلي أن أقرأ القرآن على حرف فرددت إليه أن هف على أمتي فرد إلى الثانية اقرأه على حرفين فرددت إليه أن هف على أمتي فرد إلى الثالثة اقرأه على سبعة أحرف فلك بالكل ردة رددتكها مسألة تسألنيها فقلت اللهم اغفر لأمتي اللهم اغفر لأمتي وأخرت الثالثة ليوم يرغب إلى الخلق كلهم حتى إبراهيم. So Ubay ibn Ka'ab related, I was in the mosque when a man entered and prayed and recited the Quran with a recitation which I did not know of. Then another man entered and recited a recitation different from that of his companion. So when we had finished the prayer, we all went to God's messenger and I said to him, this man recited with a recitation which I did not know of. And then this person entered and recited with a recitation different from that of his companion. The messenger of God asked them to recite and they recited. So the messenger of God approved both. At this, there occurred in my mind a denial the like of which did not occur even during the time of Jahiliyyah. When the messenger of God saw what had come upon me, he struck my chest, whereupon I broke into sweat and felt as though I were looking at God with fear. He then said to me, Ubay, I was asked to recite the Quran on one harf. Now this is the portion which is important to understand this. From here, the deduction is made that it cannot, the word seven cannot be used in the literal sense. So he says that the Prophet said to Ubay, Ubay reports that the Prophet said to him, I was asked to recite the Quran on one harf and I replied, make it easy for my people. I was told for the second time that it should be recited on two harf. So I then replied to him, make it easy for my people. I was again told for the third time to recite on seven ahruf. And I was further told, you can ask one thing for every time that you sought for the case of your people, for the ease of your people. So I said, O God, have mercy on my people. O God, have mercy on my people. I have deferred my third request for the day on which the entire humankind will turn to me, including Abraham. So these are some of the narratives that Suyuti has presented to posit the fact that the word seven cannot be used in the symbolic sense. It has to be used in its literal sense, because then these narratives would not make any sense. Imam Hui has also criticized this view. He says that this view is not even an explanation of the ahruf in this narrative. So it is not even an explanation of the word ahruf in this narrative. So therefore, this should not even be regarded as an interpretation, because it actually deals with the interpretation of the word seven itself. So viewers, this is as far as the critique is concerned, which has been presented by our scholars of the past. And I think that the critique that they have presented is very, very weighty, and it cannot be dismissed. I would just like to add one more point on my own behalf in this regard, and that is that it needs to be considered that the word seven has never been used, in my humble opinion, to ever connote a large number in the Arabic language, while acknowledging the fact that the words 70 and 700 are words which can be used to imply a large number. The word seven has never ever been used, to my own humble opinion, in the Arabic language to connote a large number. Even this example which has been cited by Ibn al-Jazari, which relates to Surah Baqarah, verse 261, you can clearly see that here the word seven is used in its literal sense. Thus, the words are, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. So those who give their wealth for the cause of God can be compared to a grain of corn which brings forth seven ears, each bearing 100 grains. So here also, if someone thinks that the word seven connotes a large number, this is not correct. Because what is said is that each grain brings forth seven, literally, the word seven is literally implied, seven corns, seven ears, and each ear has 100 grains. So again, we can clearly see what is said here is used in its literal sense. And I would like to repeat this fact that the word seven has never been used. In fact, if I extend my critique, I can clearly say this, that in all other languages as well, most other languages as well, the number seven is never used to connote a large number. 70 or 100 or 1,000 or 700. These are connotations which we all utter roughly whenever we have to exaggerate something. But never do we use the word seven to exaggerate, and never do we use the word seven to connote a large number. So this is as far as these two interpretations of the Sabbath Aruf is concerned. I have summarized them before you. The first of them relates to the fact that the seven Ahruf relates to seven types of the Quranic verses. And the second interpretation is that, in fact, an interpretation which does not revolve around the interpretation of the word Ahruf. It, in fact, says that the word seven is used in a symbolic sense. Inshallah, in the subsequent lectures, we shall continue and view some of the other critiques or some of the other interpretations of this narrative before, inshallah, we go on to critically evaluate the isnad of this narrative. Till then, أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ